Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Hello, is this thing on? Okay, good. I am sorry to interrupt your listening pleasure, but my name is Tiffany, and I'm here to tell you about my podcast, True Crime Connections. It's an advocacy podcast that talks with real survivors about real shit. This is the place you want to be if you've been in a toxic relationship or anything tragic has happened to you and you're looking to find your strength and healing. No two episodes are alike, but they all give you useful tools that you can take with you. So make sure to find me on your favorite podcast platform, or you can go to truecrimeconnections.com and come join the hope-building community. See you there.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
Frequency. And thank you all for tuning in once again. Today's show, we got back-to-back episodes of Dangerous Assignment, a series that ran from 1949 to 1953 and involved Special Agent Steve Mitchell and the adventures his missions would take him. If you enjoy this episode, please check out the archives for more thrilling episodes. And also, in a few weeks, it's going to be the one-year anniversary of this podcast, so make sure you put in your questions, whether in the comments below, on my social media, or through my email. Links can be found in the description below. And as always, if you enjoy this podcast, please follow it, review it if you can, and rate it. And with that, please enjoy the show.
The National Broadcasting Company brings you Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell in Dangerous Assignment. The time near midnight. The place, Nigeria, West Africa. Two men stand on the swaying observation platform of a train which winds its way across a yawning chasm between two mountains.
This gorge we're crossing looks pretty deep.
Yeah, about 1,000 feet.
I didn't realize there were so many mountains in West Africa. This is the third trestle we've been over in the last hour.
It is hilly country, but soon we reach the inland plateau where it is more level.
Oh, you've been around this neck of the woods before, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, incidentally, I don't think we've met. I'm Russ Holden.
Yeah, I know.
Huh?
I have been following you, Herr Holden.
Following you? Hey, wait a minute. Get away from me.
This is where you get off, Herr Holden.
No! No! No!
You've seen him as Sergeant Markoff in Beau Guest, as Charles Dana in 2 years Before the Mast. And now, here is our star, Brian Donlevy, in another two-fisted portrayal as Steve Mitchell in Dangerous Assignment.
Flight 11 from Miami, Puerto Rico, Cape Verde Islands, and Dakar, West Africa. Now ready to depart.
All aboard, please.
Come on.
Look, Ruth, I still don't know what this is all about. 1 minute I'm doing a smooth rumba with a smooth blonde.
The next minute, you're dragging me to a taxi, shoving passports and plane tickets down my throat.
I can't help it, Steve. I just do what the commissioner tells me. Oh, there he is, over at his car.
Steve, Ruth, over here.
Coming, Commissioner.
Ruth, will you see that Steve's suitcase is checked aboard the plane?
Okay, Commissioner.
Steve, let's get in my car a minute. We can talk there.
Okay.
Now, make this quick, Steve. You're leaving for Nigeria, West Africa, in 5 minutes.
West Africa? Now, look, Commissioner.
We've got to move fast, Steve. We may be too late as it is.
What do you mean?
One of our men has been over there 2 weeks, Russ Holden. He was to have sent a report back not later than noon today. We haven't heard a word from him.
Well, maybe he got delayed.
I don't think so, Steve. I'm afraid Russ is dead.
Dead? Look, what's this all about?
Manganese.
Manganese? That stuff they use in making steel?
Yes. Last week, all shipments of manganese to this country were suddenly cut off. We think the interests behind that move are trying to form a worldwide manganese cartel. If they succeed, our entire steel industry will be crippled.
I still don't see what all this has to do with West Africa.
2 weeks ago, we heard rumors that a rich vein of manganese had been discovered over there, in the border country of northern Nigeria.
Oh, I see.
That area is controlled by a native tribal chief named Soba.
And you sent Russ to negotiate with this Soba, huh?
Yes. We want Soba to sign an agreement permitting United Nations representatives to start mining operations in that area. And we've got to get to him before the agents of the cartel do.
And that's where I come in?
On the surface, you'll be a foreign correspondent trying to get an interview with Soba. Let it get out you're looking for him. Also, that you're trying to locate another foreign correspondent, Russ Holden.
Lucky me. I get to play target.
I'm afraid so. It's the quickest way of flushing the opposition out into the open. And Steve, you'll be up against a tough outfit. They'll stop at nothing to keep you from getting to Soba. They'll throw every obstacle in your path they can, including a bullet.
Great.
And they'll be trying to get to Soba ahead of you, too.
Steve, the plane's ready to take off.
Okay, Ruth.
Your first stop in Nigeria will be the Alexandria Hotel. We know Russ stayed there for a while.
Alexandria Hotel, right.
Steve, if Russ is still alive, find him and work together. If he isn't, go it alone. But above all, get through to Soba and get him to sign that agreement. You've got your assignment. Good luck.
Welcome to the Alexandria Hotel. You wish a room?
Yeah, and a blotter. This rain is even more so than what the Florida papers say about California.
Please sign here, sir. Hmm. This is the rainy season, you know.
No kidding.
From now until October, sir.
You sound proud of it. You mean it's this way all over Nigeria?
Often I'm, sir.
Fine.
Mr. Steve Mitchell, United States. Boy, take Mr. Mitchell's suitcase to room 22. Will you be staying with us long, Mr. Mitchell?
No longer than I can help. I shouldn't be here at all.
Sir?
I'm a foreign correspondent. A friend of mine was supposed to do a story over here, but I guess he wandered into a bar somewhere and forgot all about it. So now I have to do it.
What was your friend's name?
Holden. Russ Holden.
Why, Mr. Holden stayed at this hotel while he was in Lagos.
When did he check out?
Several days ago. I believe he took the train to Kugama.
Kugama? Where's that?
It's inland and to the north, Mr. Mitchell. It is a long trip by train.
What kind of country is it up there?
Oh, very wild, sir.
Well, I guess I'm going to need more suitable clothes. Is there a store around here where I can get outfitted?
Oh, yes, indeed, sir. Carter's. It's right in the next block.
Okay. I'll give it a whirl as soon as I get out of these wet clothes.
Right up the stairs until you're right, sir. The boy will have your room all ready for you. Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
Let me see your register.
You wish a room?
Let me look at that register.
But why, sir? What business have you with...
Register, give it to me.
All right, but...
Let's have it. So he is Steve Mitchell. You may have it back.
I don't understand.
You are to say nothing about this. Forget all about me, do you understand?
But no, I don't understand.
To help you forget.
Hello? Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
The clerk at the hotel told me I could get some clothes for the back country here, but I see you've got some other customers over there. I can wait.
To tell the truth, sir, it's a relief to wait on you.
What?
That gentleman over there with the pith helmet on backwards is Mr. Brighton. He's being outfitted for his first hunt, and waiting on people like that is always a trying experience.
Hmm. Who's the girl? She don't look very trying.
That is Mrs. Brighton.
Oh.
Luckily, they've hired one of the best guides around here, the tall gentleman, Mr. Campbell.
Well, fix me up with whatever I'll need, huh?
Let's see now. You'll want a tunic and... Mr. Brighton! Watch out with that rifle, Mr. Brighton!
Hey!
Are you all right, sir?
Yeah, 2 inches to the right and I wouldn't be.
Oh, dear. My goodness.
Brighton, put down that gun before it goes off again. You okay, mister?
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. I'm so dreadfully sorry, old man.
Look, where'd you learn to handle a gun anyway?
Well, you see, I was trying to find out how to load it and...
Yeah, you found out all right.
Such a stupid accident. I'm frightfully sorry.
Peter, I think you've distinguished yourself enough for one day. Let's go back to the hotel. I need a drink.
That's probably a good idea, Mr. Brighton. I'll attend to the rest of the stuff.
All right. Now, look, old man.
Yeah, you're frightfully sorry. Let's let it go at that.
Peter!
Coming, my dear.
I'm very sorry this happened to my store, sir. I'll get an outfit together immediately.
Okay.
That'd be an easier way of making a living than this.
Yeah. I can't say I'd care to play nursemaid to a trigger-happy tenderfoot like that. Oh, incidentally, I'm Steve Mitchell.
Laird Campbell.
Cigarette?
No, thanks. American, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Being a guide, you expect a certain percentage of lemons, but it looks like I hit the jackpot this time. To make it worse, Brighton's decided there's only one spot in Nigeria where he wants to hunt, way up north, past Kugama.
Kugama?
Yeah. Tomorrow we're taking that stinking train.
Look, Campbell, I'm a foreign correspondent, and I'm supposed to get a story on a tribal chief up there.
Soba?
Yeah. You know him?
Yes, I've hunted around there a couple of times. He gave me this good luck charm a few years ago.
Oh. Yeah. Say, how would I go about getting to Soba's village?
Well, it's pretty rugged country. You have to pack in from Kugama. Say, our safari will be headed in that direction. Why don't you go along with us? I could take you right to Soba's village.
Well, I wouldn't want to inconvenience you.
Oh, nonsense. No inconvenience. Believe me, I'd be glad of the company. And I don't think Brighton would have any objections. How about it?
Well, that's a thought, Campbell. Thanks for the offer. I tell you, we can talk about it on the train to Kugama, huh?
Okay. See you on board, Mitchell.
All right.
What a cattle train. When do we get to Kugama, anyhow?
Tomorrow noon. Care for another drink, Mrs. Brighton?
Sure, I'd care for one, but better not.
Hmm?
Look at Peter over there, scowling away. He thinks I've had too many already.
Oh, Mr. Brighton doesn't approve, huh?
He's one of those physical fitness bugs. He must have read about Teddy Roosevelt when he was a kid. He's been trying to live dangerously ever since.
You know, you sound like you come from my side of the Atlantic.
Kansas City.
Oh.
I happen to wind up Mrs. Brighton? Who knows? One day I'm in the chorus at the Palladium in London. The next day... I'm Mrs. Peter Brighton, and I've been on a bicycle ever since. I think I'll have that drink after all.
Mother, getting late.
You can read me like a book. Oh, well.
Is this seat next to you occupied, sir?
No, help yourself.
Thank you.
What were you saying about being on a bicycle, Mrs. Brighton?
Last year it was pig sticking in India. Have you ever been pig sticking?
Not that I know of. Your husband must have a lot of time on his hands.
Doesn't he work? He works. He's always got some big conference going on. He fools around with a lot of different interests, oils, mining, stuff like that.
I see.
Well, it's getting late. I think I'll turn in.
Okay. See you in the morning, Mrs. Brighton.
Good night, Mr. Mitchell.
Good night.
It is very amusing.
What?
Permit me. I am Varchek.
What's amusing?
That everyone is suddenly going to Kugama.
Oh?
For years, I have operated trading post up there, and nobody pay any attention to that region. But now suddenly everyone is interested in it.
Yeah. Does a hunting party and a newspaper hack after a story constitute everybody, Warchek?
This hunting expedition and the story you seek, they would not by any chance have to do with the rumors of a discovery of manganese ore in that region, would they?
You're doing the talking.
If you prefer, I will confine my conversation to the scenery.
Like I say, you're doing the talking.
As a matter of fact, we are passing through some very beautiful country right now.
Oh?
Yes. We are approaching a gorge which is quite spectacular. The view from the observation platform is a rewarding one.
Hmm. Is it? Well, I could do with some fresh air anyway. Thanks.
You are quite welcome, sir.
Good evening.
Oh.
Enjoying the view?
Yeah. This is some gorge we're going over.
Yeah. It's almost 1,000 feet deep, Herr Mitchell.
Mitchell? How come you know my name? Who are you? Hey, what are you doing? Get your hands off me, will you?
This is where you get off, Mitchell.
Watch out.
A friend awaits you down there.
Let go of me. You're up.
The National Broadcasting Company is bringing you Brian Donlevy, starring in the role of Steve Mitchell in the third of an exciting new adventure series, Dangerous Assignment.
Mitchell, you okay?
Yeah. That was close.
What happened, Mr. Mitchell? Mr. Campbell and I were sitting in the smoking car. We saw a man follow you outside, and then there were sounds of a fight.
There was a fight, Borchett. The other guy lost.
Over the side, huh?
Uh-huh. That was some view you sent me out here to see, Borchett. Or wasn't that what you had in mind?
I do not understand.
What's the next town we get to, Campbell?
Kano. Be there in a few minutes. I'll have about a 4-hour layover there.
Telegraph office in the station?
Yeah.
Telegraph office?
Yeah. The press association I work for is very strange, Warchek. They like me to send them stories now and then. So that's what I'm going to do, if it's all right with you.
Here's Steve's report, Commissioner.
Good, let's have it. Considerable interest being shown in manganese area by tenderfoot hunter named Brighton and trader named Warcheck. I'm joining Brighton Safari to vicinity Chief Sober's village. Good.
Sounds like it's been a busy bee, Commissioner.
Oh, wait a minute. Almost got tossed into canyon 2 hours ago.
What?
Afraid Russ Holden wasn't as lucky as I was. Oh, I was afraid of something like that, Ruth.
Poor Russ.
Wait, there's more. A 2-hour layover here in Kano. I'm borrowing one of Campbell's native gun bearers to take me back to that ravine I almost got shoved into.
Let's see. We're just about under that railroad trestle right now, Zuru.
Juana, look.
Yeah. Not a pretty sight, is it? Yeah, that's the guy who jumped me, all right, Zuru.
Juana?
Yeah?
I have seen that man before.
What? Where?
No can remember.
Well, try to remember.
Zuru, try.
It's very important. Let's see. He ought to have some identification here in his wallet. There it is. Hans Graber. Never heard of him.
Juana, me find something?
What is it?
Here.
A wristwatch.
Bones, too.
It's Russ Holden's wristwatch.
Train leave station soon. Time to go back, Juana.
Yeah. Come on, Zuru.
Thank you.
boy, Campbell. He's a good one.
Yeah? No? One of the best. He's lived around this North Country most of his life. Matter of fact, he belongs to Soba's tribe.
Oh?
Mr. Mitchell, did you find anything at the bottom of a ravine?
I found what I was looking for, Warchek.
The body of men who attack you?
Such a beastly thing to happen, old boy. Somebody have a grudge against you or some such silly thing?
Apparently somebody does, Brighton.
Still the man of mystery, Mr. Mitchell.
Look, Warchek.
Warchek, I've got one rule on safari. Everybody minds his own business.
But of course, Mr. Campbell.
Warchek going with us?
Yeah. He asked Brighton if he could tag along as far as his trading post.
Always glad of company. Helps keep my wife from getting bored.
How much longer before we get there, Campbell?
We'll pull into Kugama about noon. Take a couple of hours to load the jeeps. That'll get us started around 2. By sunset tonight, we'll be camped in the bush.
How about putting some more wood on the fire, Campbell?
Yeah, sure thing. Give me a hand, will you, Mitchell?
Okay, Campbell.
That's better. What was that?
Big cat out there somewhere.
Good, good. Maybe we'll get a crack at him tomorrow.
I can hardly wait. It's a wonderful ride on a stuffy train and a few charming hours bouncing in a jeep. Now a mangy lion waiting for us. How did I get so lucky?
Well, if you will all excuse me, I think I will go to my tent.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, me too.
Probably be a good idea if we all turn in pretty soon. We'll want to get started by dawn.
Buona? Buona?
Huh? Who's out there?
Zorro.
Oh, come on in, Zorro. What is it?
Buona Campbell with you?
No, Campbell's in his tent, isn't he?
Not in tent.
Wait a minute. He said he was going to check the jeeps before he turned in.
We'll look for him there.
Something I can do, Zorro?
No. Me talk to Buona Campbell.
Incidentally, have you remembered yet where you saw that dead guy in the ravine?
Me only talk to Buona Campbell. Only talk to Buona Campbell.
What's with him?
Mr. Mitchell.
Huh?
It's Marla Brighton.
Oh, hi. What can I do for you?
Buy me a drink.
Afraid I don't have anything.
Oh, fine. I might have known Peter would carefully omit any liquor from his provision list. Oh! What was that?
Came from over there in that brush.
Campbell! Campbell!
Here I am, Mitchell. Zorro. Oh,
what happened?
Just going back to my tent. I heard Zorro scream, found him like this.
His throat's been cut.
Campbell, Campbell! What's all the noise about?
That frightful scream, my... Good hell.
Best boy I ever had. And he's dead. Murdered.
Murdered? By whom?
That's just what I'm wondering, Warchick.
Perhaps a fight with one of the other bearers.
Yeah. Perhaps. The sun's coming up. We'll leave as soon as Brighton's ready.
Look, Campbell, maybe I better head for Sobu's village this morning instead of tagging along with you, huh?
I wouldn't advise you trying it alone, Mitchell. I'll take you over there later, as soon as Brighton's had enough hunting for the day.
Okay. Is the Warchek going with us this morning?
No, he said he'd rather stay here at camp.
Say, Campbell?
Hmm?
I didn't get a chance to talk to you last night after Zorro was murdered, but I think I know why he got it.
What do you mean?
Zorro told me that he'd seen the guy who tried to push me off the train before.
Huh? Where had he seen him?
I don't know. But I think he remembered last night and wanted to tell you about it.
I wish he could have found me sooner. Here comes Brighton. We can start now.
Hey, if you don't mind, I'm going to stick pretty close to Brighton while we're out in the bush.
Afraid his gun may go off accidentally in your direction again?
Yeah. I might not be so lucky this time.
What time is it, Mitchell?
5 to 8.
Sitting in this jeep in the middle of the jungle is not my idea of sport. The sun is getting hotter by the minute, and so are the mosquitoes.
Yeah.
What's keeping Campbell? Said he and his gun bearer would pick up the trail of that lion and come right back for us. He's been gone almost an hour.
Well, he'll probably be along in a few minutes, Brighton.
This isn't turning out at all the way I'd hoped. But I suppose I shouldn't have expected anything else.
Huh?
Yeah. Well, I'm sick of the whole business. I should never have let Campbell talk me into coming way up here in this godforsaken country.
It was Campbell's idea to come up here? He said it was yours.
Oh, no. He told me the hunting was better around here.
Come on. Get out of this jeep. Let's get into the brush. Hurry up.
Oh, but Campbell told us to stay in this clearing.
Yeah. He's probably circling around behind us right now. Come on.
Oh, Mitchell, I don't understand.
Neither did I. Until just now. Here, into this brush. Look. Get down.
But why is Campbell shooting at us?
Not us. Me. Look, you sit tight right here and you'll be okay. It's me he's after.
Mitchell, where are you going?
Soba's village. It's about 2 miles west of here.
I hope.
Hey, what's that? Sounds like the village just ahead. Yeah, there it is. Uh-oh. Hey, it's some square dance. Ah, well, here goes. Hey, look. Don't let me stop the feast. If one of you will just tell me where your chief is.
It is not feast. Death does. Oh. Who are you?
I want to talk to Soba, your chief. Is he around?
Maranga. Jolo.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Look.
Maranga. What is it?
A white man want to talk to you.
Is your name Soba?
Yes. You come at bad time, white man. We have death dance for one of my people, Zuru. Bring his body into village this morning.
Yeah, I know. Look, Soba, this is important. I've got to talk to you right away.
Go to my hut, white man. We finish death dance, then we talk. Barunga! Sound like man who speak with straight tongue, Juana Mitchell. Maybe your people are right ones to dig in my ground for metal.
Good.
But you are too late.
What?
Other man promise my tribe much food and medicine.
What other man?
His trader man, Warcheck.
Warcheck? Oh, looks like I pegged the wrong guy. Where is he?
He's still in village.
Yeah, I see him. Over by that other hut. Excuse me, Silver. Warcheck.
Ah, Mr. Mitchell. It would seem you arrived too late.
Now, look, Warcheck. I've been through too much in this deal to let that cartel you're working for come out on top now.
But you're mistaken, Mitchell. I work for no cartel, but for myself.
Why?
You are bidding for mining rights. Cartel is also bidding for them. What more profitable place for me than in the middle where I can do business with the highest bidder?
Warcheck.
Looks like Warcheck didn't stay in the middle very long.
Campbell.
Any agreement Warcheck has with the chief is void now. And with you out of the way, Mitchell, I think we'll be able
your,
to...
Your man Garber missed, huh? So you're going to finish the job yourself?
Yeah.
You ought to get a promotion for this, Campbell.
Uh-uh. Just money. A lot of it.
Yeah. Enough money so you didn't even mind killing Zuru when you realized he remembered seeing you and Graber together.
That's a lie. Soba, it's not true. Mitchell here killed Zuru.
You killer of Zuru.
Look, Soba, I tell you, I didn't kill Zuru. It was Mitchell.
White Hunter lies. When my men pick up Zuru's body, they find good luck charm I gave you long time ago.
What? Oh, I must have dropped it when I bent over Zuru after he died.
No. Good luck charm under Zuru's body. Barunga?
No. No, no, sober.
Arunga Blogan.
No. No.
Mitchell, you...
Good, Marunga. Good. He kill one of my people, he die.
You don't waste any time, Silva.
Mitchell.
What?
Come. We go to my hut. We talk some more.
Good. You can sign the agreement. I have the papers right here.
No sign.
What? Why?
Soba, no sign name. Soba can only make X.
Oh. Well, look, Chief, don't worry about that. Right now, your X is going to look like $1 million to me. Come on.
Just heard the third in an exciting new adventure series, Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell. Dangerous Assignment is written by Bob Reif and directed by Bill Karn, with music by Bruce Ashley. Be with us again next week at this same time when Brian Donlevy, starring as Steve Mitchell, will embark on another Dangerous Assignment. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples, too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
The National Broadcasting Company brings you Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell in Dangerous Assignment. The time, 10 p.m. The place? The spacious drawing room of a villa in the south of France, overlooking the Mediterranean. A stout man in a velvet dressing gown sits at the piano, his stubby fingers gliding expertly over the keys.
Come in, Philippe.
I thought you were Philippe, my butler.
You were wrong, Baranco.
Who are you? And how did you get into my villa?
I am called Dominic, and I walked in.
But what do you want?
Only a trifle, Baranco. Your life.
What?
Such a discord.
Seen him in such pictures as Canyon Passage, American Romance, and The Great McGinty. Now, here is our star, Brian Donlevy, in another two-fisted portrayal as Steve Mitchell in Dangerous Assignment.
Well, here he is, Commissioner. Guess where I found him? On second thought, better not guess.
Steve?
Hello, Commissioner. Well, where am I going this time?
Paris.
Paris. Hey, what was her name now?
Don't count on that, Steve. And no horse races either. Mm. This isn't a pleasure trip. It's strictly business and dangerous business.
I might have known. Okay, Commissioner, let's have it.
Steve, last week a man fell down an elevator shaft in Bombay. Died instantly. 5 days ago, a private plane crashed near Stockholm. The owner also died instantly.
Oh? So there have been a couple of accidents around the world. What's that got to do with me?
We thought they were accidents at first, but night before last, a third man was murdered in his villa in the south of France, shot to death while sitting at his piano.
Can anyone play that bad?
Steve, there's a tie-in between these three men, one that's tremendously important to us. These dead men were all millionaires in their own countries. 2 weeks ago, seven of them met to plan a giant merger.
What kind of a merger?
They pooled all their capital to form a holding company which would finance industrial expansion in backward countries.
I see.
We believe that interests hostile to the plan are obstructing it.
Well, it sounds like a pretty effective way to obstruct it, all right. Killing off the partners. You say there were seven originally. That leaves four now.
Three. Last night, the killer struck again.
What?
In Paris. Two of the partners had dinner together. Marcel Laborde and the American Scott Wheeler. As they left the cafe, they were fired on. Laborde was killed.
You know, I'm beginning to think you've got a nice, safe job picked out for me, Commissioner. I get to play bodyguard, huh?
As usual, you'll pose as a foreign correspondent after an interview with the American Scott Wheeler. Actually, your job is to protect him and the other surviving partners and to get to the bottom of these killings.
Where's this Scott Wheeler staying?
At the Hotel Brevent. That will be your first stop in Paris.
Ruth got my press credentials and passport ready?
And your plane ticket. You take off in 2 hours. Steve, we don't want anything to interfere with the plans of these men. Those killings have got to be stopped. That's your assignment, Steve. Good luck.
Welcome to Hotel Prado, monsieur. What type of accommodation would you prefer?
I'll let you know later. Right now, I'd like the number of Scott Wheeler's room here.
I beg your pardon.
Hello.
You wish to see Mr. Wheeler?
That's right.
May I ask your name?
You may. I'm Steve Mitchell. I'm a foreign correspondent.
Oh, hello. I'm Martha Vaughn. May I see your credentials? Your press credentials. May I please see them?
Yes, I guess so. I don't quite understand.
I'm Scott Wheeler's secretary.
Oh, sure. Here they are.
Thank you, Mr. Mitchell. It's just that we don't wish to take any chances, particularly after the recent attempt on Mr. Wheeler's life.
Matter of fact, that's what I want to interview him about.
Oh? All right. I'll take you up to his suite, if you don't mind.
Should I mind?
Look.
We miss you.
That man who was just here... He was Steve Mitchell?
He was a friend of yours.
In a way. Thank you.
Monsieur, you wish to leave a message for him?
No. I will deliver it to him later. In person.
Go on in, Mr. Mitchell.
Thank you.
Hello, Martha.
Well, Mr. Wheeler, this is Steve Mitchell. He's a foreign correspondent from the United States.
Hello.
Glad to know you, Mitchell. Meet my associate, Gordon Hemsley.
Hi.
How do you do? Well, I'll be running along, Wheeler. Ring me up as soon as Voorhees arrives, will you?
Okay.
Good day, gentlemen.
Well, what can I do for you, Mitchell?
Well, I believe he'd like a story about the shooting night before last, Mr. Wheeler.
That's right.
There's not much to tell. Laborde and I had dinner together, took a walk afterward. Laborde felt like a cognac, so we stopped in a little place called La Patate.
La Patate?
Yes.
That's slang for potato, isn't it?
Yes. They think of some strange names for their bars. Anyway, we had a drink and left. Just as we went out the door, I heard some quick footsteps behind us. I started to turn around. The next thing I knew, one bullet whistled by my ear, another one hit Laborde and killed him.
I see. I'd like to take a look at this bar... where the shooting took place.
La Patate?
Yeah. Where is it?
Well, it's sort of a hard place to find. Martha, why don't you show Mitchell where it is? All right with you, Mitchell.
I can't think of a guide I'd rather have, Mr. Wheeler. Thank you.
I'll try not to get you lost, Mr. Mitchell.
Would that be bad?
Come on.
So this is the potato. Sounds like a hot potato right now. That's some music.
That's what they call Le Jazz Haute, Mr. Mitchell.
I can believe it. You know, I've got one rule with all my guides, Martha.
Mm-hmm.
They call me Steve.
All right. You sound like you've had a lot of guides, Steve.
I get lost easily.
No.
You worked for Mr. Wheeler very long, Martha?
What? About a year.
Like it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You seem to be talking about me all of a sudden, Steve. I thought it was the attempt on Mr. Wheeler's life you were interested in.
I've got a two-track mind. Okay, I'll get back on track one. Now, as I get it, Wheeler and Laborde came here, had one drink, and left.
Yes, the shooting took place right outside. Apparently someone followed...
What's the matter?
Steve. That little man who just walked by.
What? Oh, the gent with squeaky shoes? What about him?
Well, I've noticed him hanging around the lobby of our hotel lately.
What?
Yes, and night before last, just after Mr. Wheeler and Laborde went out to dinner, he left too.
Hey, maybe we should have a talk with him.
Steve, look. He saw us watching him. He's going out the front door.
Come on.
I wonder...
What?
Nothing. Nothing. We'll talk about it later.
There he goes in that cab.
Come on. There's another cab over here.
Yeah. Driver?
Oui, monsieur. Taxi cab, huh?
Yeah. That cab, hightailing it down the street. Don't let it out of your sight. Let's go. Squeaky Shoes knows he's being followed, all right. That cab of his is really traveling.
Steve, look. He's stopping in front of that building in the next block.
Yeah. He's running inside. Driver, pull up behind that other cab.
Oui, monsieur.
Hey, what kind of a building is this, anyway?
What? It's a museum, Steve.
Museum? Okay, we'll look inside. Some museum, Martha. Looks like King Arthur's round table.
We're in the medieval room, Steve. The armor, the weapons, and the tapestries are all from the Middle Ages.
Too many places for Squeaky Shoes to hide. Look at all those drapes.
He's got to be in here somewhere, Steve.
Unless there's a back door to this place.
I didn't think of that.
Boy, these suits of armor really must have been comfortable on a hot day.
Look at the battle axe with this suit.
Yeah, it reminds me of a lot of old mother-in-law jokes. Well, come on, let's go.
Oh, Steve, watch out! Huh? The armor, the battle axe, it's falling.
Hey! Oh, oh.
Steve, you all right?
Yeah. Oh. I almost got a haircut the hard way. Look, help me get this tin tuxedo off me.
Oh, yes, of course.
Somebody behind the drape shoved it over. He's probably long gone by now. Well, come on, Martha. Let's go back to Wheeler's suite. Mr. Wheeler, I think it's time we laid a few cards on the table. I'm not just after a story. I've been assigned to investigate these killings. Here are my credentials.
I see.
Mr. Wheeler, in that case, I'd better tell Mr. Mitchell what I was going to tell you.
What do you mean, Martha?
The little man with the squeaky shoes. Yesterday, I saw him at the door to Mr. Hemsley's suite, like he'd just come out.
What?
You sure about that, Martha?
Later, I saw him go into a rooming house across the street.
Mr. Wheeler, this squeaky shoes boy could be the one who took a shot at you and Laborde the other night.
But what would he be doing in Hemsley's room?
I don't know yet. Come on, Martha. Let's take a look at that rooming house.
This is it, Steve.
Looks like a real dive, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But at least it's a convenient location just across the street from Hemsley's hotel.
You think there is some connection between them, Steve?
Let's go in. Fresh air would really smell funny in here.
There don't seem to be any rooms downstairs, Steve.
Come on, we'll try the stairway.
Steve, wait. You hear that?
Yeah. Squeaky Shoes.
There he is at the head of the stairs.
Hey, you. Wait a minute. I want to talk to you. Just... Hey, what's the matter with you?
Steve, he's bleeding.
He's grabbing at his chest. Get out of the way, Martha. Here he comes. Holy smoke.
Steve, is he still breathing?
Not anymore.
In just a moment, our star, Brian Donlevy, returns as Steve Mitchell in Dangerous Assignment. Today, the armed forces of the United States are concerned with hundreds of contributions to the activities of peace. America's forces are scientific forces devoted largely to the training of scientists and technicians, specialists in the techniques that make for better living in peacetime. Yes, America's armed forces constitute the world's greatest scientific enterprise. And to man that enterprise, the services are seeking suitable trainees capable of profiting from education and capable of leadership and responsibility. For the right men, the armed forces offer a whole world of technical training, training for the service and for the future. So if you're thinking of an active career, an educational career, a vital career, think of the armed forces of the United States. Now, the National Broadcasting Company brings you Act Two of Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy in the role of Steve Mitchell. The time, 30 seconds later. Steve and Martha have run up the stairs and are searching the dead man's room.
Nothing here that I can see, Steve.
Yeah, killer must have gone out the window, Martha. Still open. Well, let's go on back.
Steve.
Hmm?
Looks like the doorway is occupied.
Hmm? Oh?
I'm Inspector Brizard of the Sûreté. Your name, monsieur?
Steve Mitchell. I'm a foreign correspondent. This is Miss Martha Vaughan.
Mademoiselle?
Inspector?
Monsieur, what connection exists between you and the dead man downstairs?
Connection? None at all.
Then what are you doing in his room?
Trying to find the guy who stabbed him a couple of minutes ago.
And you do not know the dead man at all?
I don't even know the guy's name.
It is Dominique.
Dominique? That's supposed to mean something to me?
It does to most of the police in Europe, monsieur. Dominique was a hired killer.
Oh? You happen to know who his last boss was?
No, monsieur. But we had heard Dominique was in Paris and had trailed him here. As you see, a few moments too late.
Yeah. Well, look, Inspector, this is all very nice. But if you'll excuse me, I have a transatlantic call to put in.
You say you are a foreign correspondent, Monsieur Mitchell.
That's why the telephone call. My boss likes to hear from me now and then.
Monsieur, perhaps your interest in this affair is greater than the procuring of a mere story, and perhaps not.
Well, you've covered all the possibilities, Inspector.
In any case, you will please keep yourself available for questioning. Paris is a big city, monsieur, but I am quite capable of finding you should you choose to hide. Kindly, do not put me to the trouble.
Yes, sir.
It's Steve calling from Paris, Commissioner. He's on the line now.
Good. Hello?
Hello, Commissioner.
Steve, how are you doing?
Who knows? A few hours ago, I had a near miss with a battle axe.
What?
No one you know.
Now, Steve.
No, I mean literally, Commissioner. I had a hot lead for a while, a hired killer who needed a new pair of shoes. His name was Dominic.
Was?
Yeah. Somebody with a sharp knife beat me to him.
Hmm. Any other lead, Steve?
Well, there may be a tie-in between Dominic and the Englishman, Gordon Hemsley.
What?
One of the partners. Yeah, that's right. Nothing definite on him yet. There's still someone missing from the party, a third surviving partner, Carl Voorhees. He's supposed to arrive from Amsterdam tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Why, Steve, we have information that Voorhees has been in Paris for 2 days.
Oh, that's interesting. Incidentally, Commissioner, I wish you'd check on the exact terms of that merger.
All right, Steve. Why?
Oh, just a hunch I'm working on. Cable what information you can get to me at the Hotel Brevant. I'm on my way back there now to talk to Wheeler again.
Mitchell, I'm no hero. If I'd known what this merger was going to mean, I'd never have gone into it, in spite of the good I know it'll do. But it's too late to back out now. All the papers have been signed.
I think you should leave Paris, Mr. Wheeler.
Don't worry. As soon as this meeting's over, I'm going to.
What's the timetable on the meeting, Mr. Wheeler?
Voorhees is coming in tomorrow from Amsterdam. He, Hemsley, and I are meeting tomorrow night around 10 to set a few final details. Then the quicker I get out of Paris, the better. Who?
I'll go, Mr. Wheeler. Who is it, please?
Carl Voorhees.
Voorhees?
Good evening, Wheeler.
Hello, Voorhees. I wasn't expecting you until tomorrow.
I decided to come tonight.
You know Martha?
Fräulein?
This is Steve Mitchell, a foreign correspondent.
Hello. Mynheer Mitchell.
You say you just got in, Mr. Voorhees?
An hour ago.
That's funny. I heard you got in 2 days ago.
That is a lie.
Is it?
Mynheer Mitchell, my affairs are no concern of yours.
Where are you staying, Voorhees?
At the Continental.
Oh, just across the street.
Well, it's too late to get anything done tonight, Voorhees.
Where's Hemsley?
Hemsley, he's staying at the Splendide. I suggest we meet here in my suite tomorrow night. How about 9:30?
Yeah. I see you then, Wheeler.
Good night.
Good night, Fräulein. And Mynheer Mitchell.
Good night.
I wonder what he's been doing those 2 days he's been here.
So do I.
Mr. Mitchell, I'm worried. I'd appreciate it if you'd be here tomorrow night for that meeting also.
Might be a good idea.
If you could get here before the rest come, say, a little before 9?
Okay. Well, I'm going over to see your partner, Gordon Hemsley. You better stay in your room all day tomorrow, Mr. Wheeler. I'll see you tomorrow night, about 8:45.
Really, Mr. Mitchell, I can't say I relish being disturbed this late at night, just because you want some sort of silly interview.
Well, I'd like at least to get a statement from you, Mr. Hemsley. 7 of you put through a merger. So far, 4 partners have been killed. That leaves just 3 of you. Yourself, Wheeler, and Voorhees.
Oh, I'll get it, Mr. Hemsley.
Righto. Very well, Mr. Mitchell, I'll give you a statement. This merger will accomplish a great deal of good. I personally intend to carry it through regardless of threats or any consequences to me.
Speaking of threats, can you throw any light on the death of a hired killer named Dominic?
Dominic? I don't know anyone by that name.
Don't you? He was seen outside your room shortly before he was killed.
Why,
Mr. Hensley.
Yes?
It's Voorhees on the telephone. He said when he was here this afternoon, he forgot to ask...
Voorhees
here?
Never mind. I'll take the call. You have your statement, Mr. Mitchell. Would you please excuse me?
Sure. And thanks. See you around.
I wish I'd set this meeting earlier. What time is it, Mitchell?
9:02, Wheeler.
Oh. Care for another drink?
Thanks. Wheeler, you ever hear of a thing called a squeeze play?
Squeeze play? Oh. Here's your drink.
Thanks. How sure are you of your partners, Hemsley and Voorhees?
What are you getting at, Mitchell?
They met yesterday afternoon.
What does that mean?
I'm not sure yet.
Well, I wish I'd never gotten into this deal in the first place. Come on, let's go into the drawing room. It's a little more cheerful in there.
Okay. Incidentally, I've been meaning to ask you. You say you hired Martha about a year ago.
That's right.
Who recommended her to you?
Let's see. Why, it was Hemsley. After you, Mitchell.
Where are the lights, Wheeler?
Over on the other wall.
Okay, I'll get you. Hey, you're bleeding.
Shot. Shoulder, I think.
What happened?
Don't know. Saw someone hit you on the head. I tried to dodge. Shot me in the shoulder. Then he ran out.
Okay. Ought to be a doctor in the hotel. I'll get him. Then I'll call the police.
Monsieur Mitchell, once again I find you at the scene of a crime.
Believe me, Inspector, it was... not my choice either time.
You say you were unconscious when Monsieur Wheeler was shot. Have you any idea how long you were unconscious?
Just a few seconds. I heard the clock start to strike 9 as I walked into this room, and it was still striking when I came to.
That stain and broken glass on the carpet, what do they represent?
Well, part of the glass is from my wristwatch, I guess. And the rest of it and the stain are from the drink I was holding in my hand when I got slugged.
Steve, what's happened?
Martha. Well, Hemsley.
The gendarme at the door said something about a shooting, Mitchell.
Yeah, Wheeler was shot.
What? Oh, Steve, is he still alive?
Yeah, he's in the next room with the doctor. He's going to be all right. I just think it's a flesh wound.
Oh. Well,
that's good news.
Is it, Hemsley?
What do you mean by that, Mitchell?
Skip it.
Permit me, I am Inspector Brizak of the Surete. Did you two come over here together?
Why, no, we just happened to arrive together, Inspector.
I see.
My room is just down the hall.
Permit me to inquire as to your movements for the past hour.
Why, I was in my room reading.
And Mademoiselle has a witness?
What? No.
And you, Monsieur Hemsley?
Wheeler had scheduled a meeting for 9:30. I waited in my hotel until it was time to come over. Then I came over.
So?
Incidentally, where's Carl Voorhees?
Why, I expected to find him here for the meeting.
I will answer. Brizak speaking. Oui, Giraud. What is that? So, you are sure of the time? Merci. At 9 o'clock, Monsieur Voorhees called room service for some ice. When the boy arrived, 5 minutes later, he found Voorhees with a bullet through his heart. It is indeed a perplexing case, Mitchell. Our killer moves very fast. He shoots Monsieur Wheeler and kills Monsieur Voorhees all in the space of 10 minutes.
Yeah. Of course, Voorhees lived just down the street from Wheeler.
Mm. Oh, it is my turn to buy the drinks, Mitchell.
Oh, I've still got some here. I think I'll just have a little ice in it.
As you prefer.
Hey.
Monsieur?
How long has it been since our last drink?
20, perhaps 30 minutes.
Yeah. Look, Inspector, you asked me about that stain on the carpet of Wheeler's drawing room. I said it was broken glass and liquor.
That is correct, Mitchell.
Was there any ice on the carpet?
No, there was not.
Hmm. Inspector, half an hour ago, I got a cable from the commissioner. Here, take a look at it. Hmm.
Terms of merger such that in event of one partner's death, his voting interest passes to survivors.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you'll round up everyone in Wheeler's room in a few minutes, I think I can deliver you one grade A killer. How's the shoulder, Mr. Wheeler?
Coming along, but I don't understand the purpose of this meeting.
What's it all about, Steve?
Yes, being summoned here like fugitives from justice.
Monsieur Mitchell is host at this gathering. He will explain.
And I'll make it short. The person who shot Mr. Wheeler in the shoulder and killed Voorhees is undoubtedly the same one who hired Dominic to kill the other partners.
You mean one man's behind this whole thing, Steve?
One man. Or woman, Martha.
Hmm?
I'd like to show you how that killer arranged the shootings tonight. Mr. Wheeler, this clock that was striking when I got slugged, has it been running okay lately?
Why, yes, it has. Matter of fact, Martha took it to be fixed a couple of days ago.
I see.
Well, I don't see, Steve. What are you driving at?
When I got knocked out, the clock was striking 9. When I came to, it was still striking, so I figured I'd just been out a few seconds. Actually, I was unconscious nearly 20 minutes, long enough for the killer to get to Voorhees' hotel, kill him, come back, reset the clock, and then shoot himself in the shoulder.
What?
I say.
What about it, Monsieur Wheeler?
I'm afraid Mr. Mitchell's imagination is working overtime. Mitchell, do you actually think I'd shoot myself?
If the stakes were high enough, and in this deal they are. You'd already knocked off 4 of your partners. That left only Voorhees and Hemsley in your way.
I say, Voorhees and I were getting a little suspicious of Wheeler. We met yesterday afternoon to talk about it.
My patience with your sense of humor is wearing thin, Mitchell. You're making a lot of statements that would be very difficult to prove.
You're wrong there. I can prove most of them with the help of just one ice cube.
Ice cube?
Yeah. When I came to, all the ice in my drink had melted. Yet just now, down in the bar, it took the ice in my drink almost 20 minutes to melt.
Well, Monsieur Wheeler?
I...
But it'd be kind of hard to explain that away, wouldn't it, Wheeler? Wouldn't it?
I have nothing to say until I've seen my lawyers. Oh,
that can be easily arranged, monsieur. They will find it easy to locate you. You will be in prison.
Going to have some time to play in Paris, Steve?
I'm afraid not, Martha.
Too bad. Take a look at the newspaper. It's full of things to do, places to go. We could have a lot of fun.
You don't have to sell me on that. Look at this picture of the horse race.
Well, what about?
Well, the horses are running in the wrong direction.
What? Oh, no, that's the way they do over here, Steve. The horses run clockwise instead of counterclockwise, like in the States.
You know something?
What?
I think I'd better stay here a couple of days after all.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. The way I pick horses, I could clean up a fortune.
Aw.
Mine always run backwards.
Just heard the fifth in an exciting new adventure series, Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell. Dangerous Assignment is written by Bob Reif and directed by Bill Karn, with music by Bruce Ashley. Be with us again next week at this same time when Brian Donlevy, starring as Steve Mitchell, will embark on another Dangerous Assignment. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.